time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 27th of August 2011. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by The Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday the 27th of August, Emma Bowell-Warner talked to Naya Simpson about a new exhibition at Upcycle. She spoke to Paula from the Waiheke Community Childcare about their upcoming fundraiser. Huhana Davis from the Marae. Christine Wilton about healthy living and Weight Watchers, Gary Wilton about the Waiheke Walking Festival, and she talked about gardening with James Kilpatrick.
And I'd just like to welcome our next guest into the studio. Hi Naya, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Beautiful day today.
I know, isn't it? It's too nice a day to be inside.
Yeah, actually.
So you were saying you think it's going to go up to 17 degrees.
Well, yeah. I think I heard that on the radio.
Do you know, actually, I'm just glancing over at the weather report I'm going to do later, and you're right, it is, for today and tomorrow.
Tomorrow as well? Oh,
yeah.
Great. Yeah. My day off.
Excellent. Okay, well, anyway, you're in to talk not just about the weather, as though, though that's fine, because it is a beautiful, beautiful day, but You've got an exhibition coming up, haven't you?
I do. I've got an exhibition coming up at Upcycle next weekend, which is the 3rd of September at 5 p.m. is the opening.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So that's Upcycle, which is based, it's opposite the library, guys, for those people that don't know. So it's in the Artworks Complex. And tell us a little bit about your work.
Okay. Well, in the exhibition, I'm going to be showing quite a lot of paintings and some of my jewellery, which we've talked about a few months ago or something. So my work, well, what's to say, really? It's really hard talking about your own work.
You have to get used to it when you're promoting yourself.
That's right, I do. Well, it's, you know, sort of the basics are oil on canvas, oil paint. I work in quite a painterly style, which means I kind of quite like brush marks and that sort of thing.
Oh, right,
you know, as opposed to maybe a more realistic style where it looks more like a photograph.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
But then, you know, you can sort of tell what you're looking at, I like to think. A combination of lots of different sort of styles. I'm quite heavily influenced by the surrealists.
Right.
One of my favourite New Zealand artists is Seraphine Pick. I don't know if you've heard of her.
She's
fantastic. I love her. Love her work. She's one of the people on my list of people I'd love to have a coffee with.
Oh, know? Really?
Mm, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which actually, she probably would be quite happy to do that if I just had the guts to ask her.
Well, maybe that's your New Year's resolution.
Yeah, I know. I think she lives in Wellington, so it's a little bit far away. Maybe.
These things
could happen.
Can happen. Absolutely.
I know.
Absolutely.
She'll come to the show, you know.
Maybe you should invite her.
I should invite her. Yes. So, painterling style. I don't know. I sort of like to collage images and things that I find in magazines and sort of the media kind of things of women.
Right.
And because a lot of my work explores sort of the internal, external realities of living. You know, you've got your thoughts and all of that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and then you've got the physical reality of being a person, and where that combine, you know, where that meshes, you sort of have your dreams and your memories and sort of your thoughts and imagination and that sort of thing, and that's what I try and explore, I guess, on canvas quite a lot. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So you've got how many pieces of art have you got in there?
There's going to be a couple of larger paintings and then quite a few what I would call drawings, but they're really I guess paint sketches on paper.
They are sketches.
But it's not with pencil, it's
right.
with paint. I quite like those actually, because they're just sort of little explorations of ideas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So describe one or two of your pieces then. Describe your, have you got a favourite?
I do have a favourite. I guess I could talk about it. It's possible that it won't be in the show, but if it's not in the show, it will be shown anyway, because I've actually tried to enter it into the awards that they're having at the art gallery.
Ah, right.
Yeah, but I mean, fingers crossed, but if it doesn't get in, then I will show it at this show.
Right.
And if it does get in, then it will get shown
at a later date.
Yeah, in a month or two. So I guess
okay.
It's all right.
So, yeah, your favourite piece
of work. So my favourite piece is... don't know, I name all of my pieces after songs that I like. So that's not really necessarily an interpretation of the song at all. Just okay. happens to be a song I like at the time. So this piece was called after Infinity by the XX.
Yep.
If you know that, it's a great song. Look it up. Okay. We've got it at the library. And it's basically a portrait of a woman who is sitting there. She's in this beautiful ball gown and she's got wallpaper kind of style behind her and sort of quite bright colours, and she's either stuffing or eating a bunch of kowhai leaves and plants.
Right.
Or trying to. I don't know. Sort of. And it's I based it on the painting by Magritte. He has this painting of a young girl and she's eating like a bird or something. It's quite quite a strong image. I can't remember what the painting's called, but it's one of my favourite images. It's not that I like the idea of eating, you know, a bird or anything, but it's so strong and powerful, and it really makes you wonder what the hell is going on.
Okay.
You know?
So it makes you want to understand the story and explore what's going on.
Yeah. Mm. You know, what makes that sort of image pop into your head? I mean, for me, the image that of the girl with the kowhai leaves, well, it does reference that. It is sort of about social awkwardness and that sort of thing for me. You know, you're in a big, I don't know, you go to a party or whatever and you have a moment where you're kind of like, I'd kind of rather be at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure we've all experienced that. And you're having to have that plastic smile.
Sort of, yeah, or you're talking to people, you know, you kind of just want to grab the bunch of flowers that's behind you, shove it all over your face and just, you know, just go, oh, I don't care anymore.
Right, okay.
I don't know. I think it's one of those amazing things about paintings is it doesn't have to be real, you know, and you can make situations or moments that might not actually happen.
Absolutely. Well, that's what you're talking about, I think, isn't it? About exploring your sort of inner thoughts and your
Because
we all have those crazy thoughts sometimes.
Yeah, and you might not act on them. You might even not want to act on them.
No, but you have them. Yes. Yeah.
And that's kind of what it's about for me. Yeah. Mm. I get to act out them in my painting.
Yeah. And I do understand that in a different medium when I used to act and do sort of improvisational theatre. Yes. And a really awful sort of exploration moment just came to my head and I'll share it with you. I don't know why it popped in. But I once was in a piece of theatre and it was a devised piece and we were in the exploration stage and it was all to do with this about a red dress. Anyway, okay. There was this actress in the piece as well. Actually, we were still at drama school.
Oh, okay.
And I really, really didn't like her. She had been so nasty about somebody I really cared about and been very, very cruel. So I thought she was a horrible, horrible woman. Anyway, we were doing this improvisational piece and obviously being professional.
Yes.
You know, you have to put that aside. To cut a long story short, we had this whole series of props and we were exploring them and doing different sort of improvisations around them. And at one point, I find myself with a rock in my hand.
I can see where this is going.
Smooth rock, very smooth. And, you know, it was somehow I'd picked it up and it was there. And this woman was in front of me. And she came over and started interacting with me and we were sort of working. And I ended up, sounds a bit surreal now, I ended up sort of stroking this rock down her face and then her arm and then down her face again. And for one awful moment, I had that inner thought where I thought, actually, I'd quite like to whack you with that. Awful.
It's awful.
And it's like 15 years ago, but that has stayed with me as one of those awful inner thought moments.
Yeah.
I've only ever shared it with one person before, and now I've told you, but on air. So, Yeah.
Great.
I know.
So well, let's not say who that lady is.
No, no, we won't. We won't, we won't divulge her name. And she's still in the UK. And, you know, I'm sure she's a very fine person. But, yeah, it was just one of those inner thought moments. And it's those things that you kind of think in your head, but would never in a million years do it.
Exactly.
And actually, I kind of shocked myself even that I'd thought that. Because I'm a pretty non-violent kind of person.
Yeah.
I don't actually... Like, I don't like any
neither.
Sort of,
I don't like violence either.
Yeah,
but
it just shows that you can those different elements, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah. That would make a great painting.
Yeah, wait, what my one?
Yeah, the rock.
It would. Well, if you want to take that as inspiration,
well, I might do. We'll see. Maybe in the future.
Okay. So anyway, moving on. It's not just about your paintings, though, is it?
No, I've got some jewellery in the show as well. Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to see if I can get it in the light box. I haven't quite tested that theory yet, so it may be in the light box. Maybe somewhere else, who knows, but I'm sure I'll make it work either way.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah. So it's a collection of my tatting, which is a lace making technique. It's quite lightweight. It's all made from cotton, lots of different colors, mostly earrings, but a few necklaces and that
a couple
sort of
bracelets as well, don't you do?
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be any bracelets in the in the exhibition. I've only got a limited space, so we'll see. But I mean, if anyone's interested in them, they can. There'll be some business cards and things, and they can have a look at my website and all of that sort of thing. Yeah,
excellent. And they are really, really lightweight. So for those people that don't like heavy jewellery, they're perfect, and they're very pretty and delicate.
They are very delicate. Yeah. They're very feminine. Yeah,
yeah. I didn't know what tatting was until you brought some along and you explained it to me how it works. And it's it's quite fascinating. It takes it's a very precise artwork, isn't it?
It's quite repetitive. Yeah, it's basically knots over thread. It's kind of, I mean, and some people might say it looks a little bit like crochet, but
Or embroidery. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I've started actually taking pieces of tatting and sort of embroidery, stitching them together to make of different things and things, because I needed to try and think outside of the box, because there are other people who do sort of similar styles of tatting. And I thought, well, I'm very creative. I can do better. So I thought, yeah, I'm testing out some different theories at the moment. I've just started learning bobbin lace, which is really full-on.
Lace. Oh, lace, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Bobbin lace. So that's traditional lace. That's way older than tatting. Tatting's quite a new form of lace making.
Oh, okay.
So bobbin lace is, you know, where you've got millions of bobbins and they clatter around and that sort of thing, and there's strings and stuff, and then lots of little pins.
Yep.
And you sort of make little crosses and all of that sort of thing, and sort of knot together, and it just magically holds shape when you take the pins out.
Oh wow, excellent.
Pretty exciting. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that, but I thought it would be good to learn anyway.
Excellent. Okay, well, let's just, that sounds great. So let's talk a little bit, just reaffirm when it is.
It's 3rd of September. The opening's at 5 p.m.
So 3rd of September is that Friday or Saturday?
It's Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah, next Saturday.
So next Saturday, 3rd of September at 5 p.m.
Yep.
Is the opening. And how long are you exhibiting for?
I don't know. A couple of weeks, probably.
A couple of weeks. Okay. So it's open for a couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, and they've just gone into summer hours at Upcycle as well. So I think they're open until 4 p.m. most days.
Great. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds lovely. Thanks very much for coming in. And do let us know next time you've got anything coming up, and indeed how it's gone on. I would like to welcome our next guest into the studio. Hi, Paolo.
Kia ora, Emma. Kia ora, Waiheke.
Kia ora. And Paolo is here representing Waiheke Community Childcare, and you're coming to talk to us about your fundraiser.
Yeah, well, we've got this awesome deal that one of the mothers who sends their kid, this woman called Penny Foster, to the Waiheke Childcare, used to work in Britain, and she somehow knew the people from Aardman, the people who make the Wallace and Gromit films.
Oh!
Yeah, pretty cool. And she managed to score us the rights to show Wallace and Gromit's The Wrong Trousers.
Oh, I love that movie.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but
oh,
I love their films. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Well, 1993 for Best Animation.
Yeah.
And, so what we're doing is Artworks Theatre has kindly donated their space, and we're projecting the film and we're having a sort of fundraiser film day, family film. But the genius of it is the film's only 32 minutes long.
Yes,
so it's kind of just the right length for kids under four or five or something, you know. Yeah. So I mean, my daughter's nearly three and that'll be just perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And lots of the mums and dads are baking. And so with the tickets, we're going to, all the kids get to eat lots of food and so forth. And the local vineyards, including actually, they're not all finalised yet because we had quite a few donations, but some wonderful local vineyards have given us loads of good wines up to now. And so the parents can either choose to watch the film or sit around and chat.
And they'll probably
and drink
be a bit
a glass
of both.
Of wine.
They'll probably,
I hope so.
I've got to tell you, I love the Wallace and Gromit. There's a couple of those films now, and they are, I've seen it maybe 3-4 times.
Really?
Yeah. And it is still hilarious.
See, because they've got the formula right where they have them. They have those little jokes that for the parents.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that you can survive them as an adult. But the kids love the, you know, the more, you know, the cutesy element
yes.
of it.
Oh, yeah. It's on. It's made on many different levels. So
that's right. Yeah.
There's the adult humour there. It's slightly risque, a couple of the comments and stuff. And but it's just, it's magical, quite magical.
So we're doing this next Saturday, which is the 3rd of September at 2 p.m.
Okay.
So just if everyone could remember, 2 p.m. next Saturday at Artworks Theatre. And so with the tickets, the kids get food. I'm making cinnamon scrolls particularly, so which are famous with the kids. And the adults can buy a glass of wine. And
so how much are the tickets?
The tickets are $15 for adults and $7 for children.
Great.
And it's all because the Waiheke Child Care Centre is a non-profit organisation, obviously, and so we're raising funds. Part of the things, we're trying to get a shade sale for the, and there's a few repairs to be done. So it's all fundraising for the Child Care Centre, and it should be really a lot of fun anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
I just hope to hear lots of giggles and laughs in the, for all the kids.
Absolutely. I'm sure it'll be really, really well attended because it's a great film, but also it's a great thing for the community as well. We need to support our child care.
That's right, and they're so great. The ladies there are unbelievable.
Oh, fantastic.
There's
yes.
also a new guy called Matthew, he's a French guy, so it's really nice to see a man there as well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So a male role model there. That's awesome, actually.
So, next Saturday, the 3rd of September, 2 p.m., Artworks Theatre, Wallace and Gromit's The Wrong Trousers, and it's a fundraiser for the Waiheke Community Childcare.
Great.
So please come along.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. Thank you very much for coming along, and we'll make sure that we send a few people down if we see anybody around the Artworks at that time. So it's great with the kids, but you don't have to go with your kids, really. If you haven't seen that film, I can tell you as an adult, you can still go and enjoy it as well, because it is really, really funny. All I'll say is the cheese jokes are great. That's all I need to say. And once you've seen the film, you know what I mean.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thanks, Emma.
All right. Well, thanks very much for popping in. Great to meet you, and good luck with it.
Cheers.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
I'd like to welcome our next guest into the studio. Hello, Huhana.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. And you're here to talk about the marae, aren't you, and some wonderful stuff that's going on there.
I'm here to talk about how we, the collective, the families of Waiheke, whether that's Nana, the children, aunties, uncles, whoever wants to join together to help create a welcoming from our island, to uphold the mana of our island for this auspicious occasion that's coming. It's 15 days away or thereabouts now, and it's a time that we can all come together without cost, and we can do our island proud, and we're having a practice this Sunday of what that might look like. We know for definite that the big Wakatoa are coming.
Wow.
Now, one, for example, is Kōtuiti Tuarua, the Ngāti Pāua Waka. They are the mana whenua of this island. There will be up to 50 aboard on that waka alone. It is a six-hour or more row, hoi, we call it, from where they're coming from Auckland. So that deserves a great welcome on its own. But it's a be prepared time for all of us that this time we are at the gateway to Auckland City, the gateway to the Tamaki Isthmus. We're a beautiful island. We're a natural attraction to all. We don't know exactly who's going to turn up on our island. But if we have large occasions like that, certainly Waka and other dignitaries coming aboard, I say let's be prepared and we can do this together as one. That's what Kia Piritahi means. The name of the marae means together as one.
It does, yes. Yes.
So tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, we're going to rock up. Yes, it'll be... We envisage that the Waka, when it comes into the harbour, that that harbour is full of our people.
Oh, wow.
Full of our people doing a welcome, which will start in the Māori styles, the traditional styles of Aotearoa, so that everybody knows how they can participate and be part of that sense of belonging. We say, no mai haramai, come down tomorrow and let's rock together as one and get our sense of our families and how we can put this together and what might come from that. Yeah, we don't know.
Absolutely. So this, of course, is in celebration of the Rugby World Cup.
Absolutely.
And so tomorrow is really a day where people are they going to be sitting and discussing, or what do you think?
Can bring their ideas. We will certainly be doing haka practice.
Oh, wow.
But haka can include everybody, and it doesn't mean that you've got to be out in force. You can be at the back as a great grandmother like myself. I'm optimistic that it will be led by the strength, which is the youth of our island.
Yeah.
And that anyone that wants to participate, when you imagine a whole bay full of our people in harmony together, in certain action together, that we are welcoming a Waka coming in. And that Waka is looking like to have some very prestigious guests aboard as well. It's still in the pipeline, but certainly names that are renowned with the world of rugby. And certainly with the world of our cultures,
yeah,
and a lot more is in the wind for Waiheke. So it's just, let's get down there, let's get together, let's make it happen. We've got some good leaders. We're an awesome people.
We are.
We come from all four winds of the earth. We're totally multicultural. So It's a beautiful weekend. We're having awesome days. I can't imagine a better place to be. Bring a plate so you can have a cup of tea. We can all join on and have a cup of tea afterwards. But at least if you're there, you are going to know what's going down,
yeah,
how it's going to go down.
And you're able to be a part of it and contribute.
Absolutely. Mm. And I'd like names and contacts of all those that come in, so they'll be first contactable. They'll be there of the moment. They can put the call out to the rest of the family. But if you're there, you know you're going to know what's going down, how it's going down, and how to participate as fully as you choose to participate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's just go over the times again and what people to bring, if possible, that kind of stuff. Let's get the logistics down.
Okay, so it starts at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
And
that's at the marae?
Yes, down at Piritahi Marae. And it'll run till 1 o'clock. If you come late, that's all good. This is a practice round. This is like,
yes,
get it together.
Yeah.
Bring a plate so we can have a cup of tea. That might be a packet of biscuits, whatever. Join together. It's all about reciprocation and kind for the betterment of the whole. And
fantastic.
We're a great island, and this is one occasion. Even if you can't get to a rugby game for whatever reasons, you can join in a very magical and spiritual moment, standing up for the pride of what we all share living on this island, down on the marae, and welcoming the world.
Yeah, so absolutely. So come on down if you'd like to be involved, especially if you'd like your children to be involved, because let's be honest, getting the children involved in things like this is a fantastic opportunity to show support of the community, isn't it? So it'd be great. So anytime from 10 o'clock tomorrow at the marae, so 10 till 1 it's going on. Bring a plate if you can, a packet of biscuits, a packet of chips or something. Doesn't have to be anything too fancy. The main idea is to come down and show your interest.
Cool. If you can't make it this weekend, then come on down next weekend. Let's make a magical moment for Waiheke.
Absolutely. Oh, thanks so much for coming in, Huhana. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and see you. And I look forward to seeing what people can come up with. Sounds great.
It'll be a cherished memory.
Yeah.
And let's hope we can build on that as the collective of Waiheke.
Absolutely. Thanks very much. Hi there, you're back with Ireland Life, and we've got our next guest in the studio. I'd like to welcome Christine Wilton. I can't remember how I described you before. I think the vivacious Christine Wilton I described you as before. So welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So you're here to talk about healthy lifestyles and what we can do to promote that, and then some other things along with that. So first of all, why are you so interested in this? What got you started?
Okay. I've always been very interested in a healthy lifestyle, but just lately I've been hampered with horrendous a back injury, and I also tore my Achilles, so I was hobbling around like a maniac on crutches. And
and you did that in quite a public event.
I did that in a public event. It was extremely embarrassing. It was at a school jump jam, which I not recommend collapsing in front of 7-year-olds. I'm still recovering
from the embarrassment. More
from
than
the embarrassment, yes. The injury was horrendous, but the embarrassment was and humiliation was probably worse.
Sorry,
and it was right on Christmas. But anyway, what happened was, I was a bit overweight and struggling with these injuries, and I decided that I wanted to do something positive for myself and get a bit more control back. I spent all of my time obsessing about not feeling healthy. I felt I was overweight. I've had two kids, and the most recent one is 5 and a half now. And you cannot use that as an excuse to be overweight. You sort of say, "Well, I've just had a baby." Well, that was 5 and a half years ago. So I decided to take some control, and I ended up going on Weight Watchers. The only thing was that I found out that Weight Watchers used to be on the island, but it isn't on anymore. So I went through quite a steep learning curve to find out that it wasn't on the island. I tried doing it by the web, and I thought, well, I could just do this using Google. This is ridiculous. So I did Weight Watchers at home, where a lady rings you once a week and does a weigh-in from home. But I still found that I had to be extremely self-motivated. And as a result, I've lost a lot of weight. I've lost over 10 kg, which is good. But I've decided that I want to give back, and I want to help the community. And if we can maybe get Weight Watchers back on the island, I think you have got a much better chance of learning good eating habits and learning how to exercise on a regular basis, and not just to lose weight, but to just to live a healthy life. And I think that's where you're going to get payoff if you can actually meet. So I rang Weight Watchers, and they said that if you can get 20 to 30 names on a petition of for people that are interested, then they'll start it up again. And I might point out that I'm not a big birther. And I don't believe you need to be a big person to be on Weight Watchers or to start eating and exercising healthily. I think it's, for me, even though I knew a lot of the theory and I was quite, if you asked me about what's a healthy meal, I could tell you, I didn't actually live that. And I think that this learning curve that I've been on in the last few months has taught me that the value of food, basically, and what you put into your mouth. I mean, I used to just eat whatever I saw in front of me, but now I've got extremely good eating habits. I know what I'm eating. I know the value of it and whether it's good or bad for me, and I'm a heck of a lot better for it.
In what way are you feeling better?
I'm much more energetic. I can I don't have to have a nana nap. I haven't had any colds or flus, feeling just a lot more. I literally feel lighter. And the other day I was in the New Hope op shop grovelling about, as I normally do, and I found a 7 kg weight, and I picked it up and it was so heavy. And I realised that, I'd lost that amount, and I thought, I've been carrying that around, if not more. And it showed me the value of how much... How, if you are heavy and carrying around extra weight, how much harder it is to get through life. You don't feel energetic. And also, usually, you're on a bad cycle of bad eating. You're eating lots of carbs to try and get energy, and then wondering why you aren't energetic. And, it's just a bad cycle. So I've found that once I got back into the cycle of good, healthy eating, and I have to say, I used to sort of roll my eyes when people talked about eating veggies and healthy fruit and stuff like that, and how you need to have water and diet and exercise. And I used to roll my eyes and I thought, yeah, whatever. But I noticed that when I actually did it, I have to say it totally has changed
your mood.
It's changed my mood. It's basically changed my life, and I feel like I've got control back, and I feel good about myself now. And I'll pose in a photo without feeling embarrassed or hiding behind people anymore. So I feel like that's something that other people might benefit from. I do believe that most people couldn't do it on their own as easily than if they had a group where they could go to once a week. And I know that it does cost a bit when you look at, going into something like Weight Watchers. But apart from Synergy on the island, I'm not sure of any other – Synergy does have a thing where you can lose 5 kg, and they measure you once a week and what have you. But apart from them, I don't think there's anything else on the island that gives you that kind of support.
Right, okay. So it's the support and the network and stuff that you really, really value with that.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the thing with Weight Watchers is not just about dieting. It's actually about sort of exercising more, and it encourages you to exercise and to be more sort of healthy all around.
Yes, but it also is not a diet as such.
No.
Like, you don't... if you want to eat an ice cream, or if you want to have a glass of wine, which I always enjoy, all that stuff, you can have that, but you understand the value of it, and you counteract it with your eating habits. So you basically develop much more sensible eating habits.
Yeah.
So it's not a situation where you're not allowed a Big Mac, or you're not allowed to guts down some fish and chips. You can still do that, but you know the value of it.
And you learn how to balance it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, the funny thing is, once you've been on it for a while, you don't actually crave those foods anymore.
You're quite right with that, actually. I've got to say, about maybe 10 years ago, I did Weight Watchers for a short... This is when I was still in the UK, and I don't diet. I don't do that to myself. But I thought, I've put on a little bit of weight here. I want to give it a go. I was a little bit sceptical, to be honest. But anyway, I found that it got me into some really good habits, and it was that thing of looking at if I expend a little bit of energy here. So, you know, I'd still go to the pub and have a drink and have a packet of chips and stuff at the pub and have a couple of Budweisers. But I'd insist. So I'd walk the 15, 20 minutes to the pub. Whereas usually we'd all go, one person would be the designated driver and stuff. But I'd walk there and I'd walk back and I'd try and actually get a bit more exercise. I suppose using an example of walking to the pub and back isn't the best example, but it worked for me. It did. And Weight Watchers really, really did work for me for a few months, and it just got me into some good habits.
Yes.
And that was the key for me, really. It was the fact that I realized the bad habits of just a sort of quick fix food, because I just started lecturing, and I was out all day and working with lots of teenagers and young people that had constant supplies of sweets and snacks, and so I just munch along with them, and I got into some good habits from doing that, which was really helpful, and it worked. I lost quite a bit of weight and kept it off for some time. Then I came to New Zealand and it all went to pot. Yeah, but hey,
the good news is I haven't felt deprived. Like, there's been situations.
Your taste buds change, don't they?
Well, yeah, you don't have that, they do change, actually. Yeah. But I've been in pub situations, and I've been for pizza nights and you name it. But I know the way it works is you have a certain amount of points per day, and you also have a backup lot of points for emergency situations, which I like to draw on. It's sort of like a little bank account. And so you basically, it's a bit like budgeting. You just got a certain amount of points, and you just make sure you stick within that. And if you stick within that, you will lose the weight. And you can allow for the treats within that. So
absolutely.
It seemed to me like a sensible way. It's also my feeling is that I wanted something that would last for life, rather than just a one-off thing where you're on a diet of lemon juice and lettuce
cabbage
leaves. I didn't want to. I wanted to
You want something realistic.
And also part of it is what you're teaching your children too. If you've got children, you are setting an example to them and setting them up for life and of what how they're going to be when it comes to snacking or, you know, how just their knowledge of food. So that was also in the back of my mind because I knew that I wasn't really into healthy food that much. I wasn't, you know, I just eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And now the children are learning with me.
Great, great. Okay, so if people are interested in putting their names forward to join a Weight Watchers group, how are they going to do that?
I'll okay, let you know. Well, I'm setting up a petition. So I've already got one name as I was walking in the radio station, as you do. If you can ring me on 3688, that's 3688, and send through your, if I'm not home, just send through your, on the voicemail, just give me your name and phone numbers, maybe your landline and your mobile number, and I'll write your name down. And if a group starts up, then we'll get you involved. If you prefer to email, my email is christine@tvnz.co.nz. That's christine@tvnz.co.nz.
Great. Okay, so just give us your phone number again.
3688.
3688. So if you're interested, or think you may be interested, or a family member might be interested in getting involved in that, give Christine a call so she can get your name on the list, and we can look. And let's just be honest, you've got no connection to Weight Watchers at all. So it's not a recruitment thing that's going to benefit you in any way. We'll just be really.
This is just off my own bat. I think that it's a. I've learned a lot from it. I've done really well from it. I'm feeling a lot better from it. So right. I'm quite happy to support it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, thanks very much for coming in, Christine.
You're welcome.
And good luck with the petition.
Thank you.
Wakey Radio. Okay, so welcome, Gary. He's rolling his eyes at me because I always do that. I get it all queued up and then I go, oh, what did I just play there? So, and we've got James coming in as well, Mr. Green Landscape. Anyway, hi, Gary. Welcome.
I can hear him whistling out there as well. Never trust a whistling tradesman. He's making too much money.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But anyway, what are you here to talk about?
Just a reminder on the Waiki Walking Festival.
Oh, great.
Saturday 29th of October to Sunday 6th of November.
Yep.
So a couple of months away and neatly positioned after the World Cup just to help you on your come down. Because I know you're going to be frenetic with the excitement of the rugby.
What, me personally?
Yeah, you personally.
Yeah. I couldn't remember what it was before. I was like, is it cricket? Is there some sporting event going on, isn't there?
Oh, they will love you.
I know.
So over that 9 days, we've got 2 weekends there. We've got for Waiheke residents, we've got, I think, 11 of the 21 walks are on weekend days.
Great.
And that's part of the feedback that we had from people last year, that they'd love to take a week off and come and tramp around the island with us, but they've probably got to go down and visit Auntie Ida and Central Otago with that holiday instead. So can we pack the weekends? So we've done that. And we've got some real interesting stuff on the weekends. We've got a children's story walk with Tanya Batt at Fokinafa on the Saturday 29th. We've got Madame Rouge, the... do you like French, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Like it.
Just in case you missed it. I wasn't just clearing my throat. We've got Madame Rouge. Which is Miro Vineyard right through to Saratoga, I think. They're effectively opening that walkway up this summer, and this will be the first chance to look at it. It will be a walkway over private land that you're invited to walk with the permission of the landowners, and I think Bond's spearheading that. He's done a fantastic job, and Madame Rouge starts from Miro Vineyard, Barnett and Cat, is it? And their vineyard up at the top of Onatangi, so that'll be a great chance to see the vineyard valley there that you normally can't see. And then on the second weekend, we've got a walk through Okawiti Wetland, a new walkway that we've put in below Wharf Road. And we're hoping to get Len Brown over for that.
Great.
He's said that he's keen to come over for something, and that looks like the most likely. So that's Saturday the 5th. And then on Sunday the 6th, we've got Walk to the Top of the World, which is probably the most popular walk of last year's festival, which takes you through a new piece of reserve again, which takes you virtually to the top of Maunganui Summit.
Wow.
Which is the highest point on the island. Fabulous views.
I said wow, but I don't actually know where that is.
Yeah, it's down, if you know where Awaroa is, an eco village.
Yep.
Basically, if you look up to your left when you're at the end of that road, hard to your left, almost behind you, there's a hill with a trig on.
Yes.
That is Maunganui, the top of Maunganui, which is the highest point on the island.
Yep.
Our land goes almost to that point, and we're hopeful that the landowners at Maunganui will allow us to cross for the guided walk right up to the trig.
Great.
And then you get the whole 360 views right across the gulf.
God, you'd have a spectacular view.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. I've only been up two or three times, and the first time I went up, I don't often use the word spiritual, but it was a fantastic experience. And you sort of
really?
Think the great thing about Waiheke is, after a while, you think you've seen everything, and then every month or so, something comes out and bites you. And you're like, wow, I never thought of that. Never thought of looking at this from this angle.
Yeah.
Never seen down into that valley. Never seen so far across the town. I think Dane Dixon, who is a neighbouring landowner who sold us the land for the reserve, says that you can see, you can certainly see the opening of the Manukau Harbour one way, and pretty much Mount Te Araha, which I think is 90 kilometres away.
Wow.
Down the other way, and obviously Great Barrier and around. So that's a pretty good one too. So if you want to find out about the Walking Festival, we've just had the brochures printed, and they will be down at Fuller's at the wharf, both sides.
Yeah, great as well, the brochures.
And the eyesight. And you can also find us on the web, and you do need to book for the walks. And
yes.
Some of them are about half to two-thirds full already. So
really?
I'd say to islanders, get your bookings in. They're all free. There are a couple of ones that you need to pay transport costs if you need transport, but effectively all free. So go to www.waihikewalkingfestival.org. So waihikewalkingfestival.org, or
yep,
just Google as Waiheke Walking Festival, and you'll find us. Everything's on there. And book something up if you like the look of it. Don't leave it to the last minute, because it might be full.
Absolutely. And are they graded? So
yes, they are. Yeah.
Accessibility and
by difficulty,
yeah. Okay, great. Okay, well, thanks very much, Gary.
No
excellent
problem at all.
And half to three quarters full, some of them already.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be a seller. And this is before we get all the tourists, the visitors coming in and coming and joining in as well. So yeah, if you're part of the island and you want to go and see somewhere that you've not done before, or go on a guided walk, this is a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah,
fantastic. All right, thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you.
And we've got James coming in just one moment.
Waiheke Radio. Radio.
Okay, so we've got our final guest in the studio this morning. Good morning, James.
Oh, good morning, Emma.
And how are we today? It's beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful, isn't it? And it's really, it's the first week of spring. It feels like the first week of spring.
When is it officially? Is it the end of September?
I think it was almost, September the 1st, isn't it?
I don't know. Oh, is it September the 1st?
Well, in my mind, it's about September
the
1st. Oh, okay.
In your mind?
In my
mind. Well,
that
doesn't mean anything, really, does it, James?
No, you don't go there.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. Okay.
So what are we going to chat about?
Well, I'm just looking. I don't think I was here last month. So what I thought I'd do is I'd have a wee quick recap on August, which is almost finished, mm-hmm, believe it or not, and then look at September.
Great. Okay. Go for it.
Yep. So really, you know, as we know, we had a bit of a snow last week, and in other
bit
parts,
of
a bit of snow.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So all the
I thought you meant the whole Waiheke.
Oh, just the whole of the country.
Yes, yeah.
And you know, the first thing to note about August is that it is winter, obviously. But some of the things you may be happy to know about cold conditions, especially as we had them last week, because I was in a sleep out and it was very cold, was...
especially when you had the sickness bug.
Yes.
You won't go there.
No.
So not on air.
So a lot of disease is... And so things in the garden that might have been annoying you and those sorts of things, or fungus in the lawn, so pests and what have you, will be... Would have taken quite a heavy knock from that cold last week.
Right.
So for your garden, it's a bit of a reprieve. So, you know, and I think that's really important to note. And yeah. and And also, we did have a few frosts, light frosts, and it may not be happening anymore this month. But it's important to know that if you've got a frost tender plants, then especially in valley areas around the island and sheltered areas, if you're finding that they're getting a bit of frost burn, this I'm talking about next winter, then it'd be a really good idea to cover your plants. That's quite a good way of keeping the frost off. But I mean, to be honest, we live in a pretty warm climate, but that's something. Just something if you've sort of looked at your plants and you've gone, oh my god, you know, they're frostbitten. That's one way of stopping it.
Okay.
So now planting, I've been doing a bit of planting in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, have you?
And it was soup. It's soup by which I mean, you dig a hole and it's just like
fills with water.
Yeah, it's like custard. But it is starting to dry out now, which is really, really good.
Mm.
So really, if you're going to be doing some planting, for example, looking at citrus and stone fruit, now is the time to do it. So if you haven't been doing it already, that's a good time to start planting this month.
So for the citrus trees? And
yes.
Great.
So if you're thinking, well, gosh, I need a Seville orange or I need a
lemon tree,
you know, the old Meyer lemon, you can't go wrong, you could be getting one of those in.
Great. Okay.
Yep.
Great. That's good to know, actually, because I am hoping to plant a lemon tree in the next in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm. Yeah. So definitely planting. Keep the planting up. Now, if you are reading a lot of magazines lately, you might find that dahlias are making a bit of a comeback.
Are they?
Yeah. People treat them like the rhododendrons. There's sort of a people, you know, they're quite a sort of a plant of a real showy plant which is a bulb, and it comes up every year. And if you were thinking of getting a little bit of colour in the corner of your garden, then you could start planting the dahlia bulbs.
Oh, right. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you've already got dahlias, you know, you could be spreading them around a little bit as well. And that
splitting them and okay.
Just moving them around, mm-hmm. because they do. They're brilliant, you know,
great.
For brilliant colour. And with regards to looking at September now,
yep,
or looking ahead, because I've been a little bit brief this week, but
no, that's great.
Yeah, we're looking at towards September, springing into action. You'll notice that, you know, you're going to get a lot more growth, and to assist that growth, it would be ideal to start fertilising your garden. Now, you can do this in two ways. You can do it organically, or you can use a slow-release fertiliser. Organically, I mean by using, compost to dig into your edible garden, and top dressing with the old sheep pellets. If you don't have a dog that, like I do, that likes sheep pellets, then you could probably put a few sheep pellets around some established trees as well. And you'll find that they'll really benefit from that.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So we're also coming to the end of our pruning. So if you are looking at your tree and you're thinking, gosh, need to give it a bit of a prune up, I would start to just leave that now, especially if some trees are starting to bud. And that's not the case for all trees, of course. But I'd certainly, now that as the temperature rises, the plants start to kick into action again, I would sort of maybe put that on the back burner till next year, and maybe even think about some of the more hardscaping activities that you could do in the garden, like retaining areas as seating, or looking at creating pathways, things like that. You've now got that ideal opportunity where the soil is getting dry, but it's actually workable. You know.
Yes, yeah. Before it gets too hard in the summer, where it's just a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah. So you don't want to get into that situation in February where you're when you're trying to dig pathways and what have you, and feeling a little bit sore.
Even planting's harder.
Oh, yeah, Yeah. So definitely, it's going to be a busy time, I think, for a lot of people in September, because we have had a really wet rainy season, and I don't know about a lot of you, but I've actually been, you know, there's been a couple of days there where I've had to sit on my hands. And but now, you know, hopefully we're going to get a little bit more settled weather. Things, you know, you can get a lot more done.
So
with September, I'll probably say a little bit more about that next time.
Yep.
But plant of the month. Plant of the month. Now this week, I've been looking and thinking about a tachymanthe.
Have you really?
A tachymanthe speciosa. Now, this is a lovely tropical-looking native per se. It's from sort of New Zealand islands, but we're talking a coastal plant. And this is a wonderful plant for training over pergolas, training over fences. If you want to create a canopy. And it's so amazing. It really does look.
What does it look like?
It is like a very chunky. Has a very chunky stem. Eventually, so it looks.
So a bit like a chunkier version of a clematis, or.
Even chunkier. The leaves are very glossy, like a grisalinia, and they have this amazing white flower, which comes out when everything else is asleep. In the winter. So, it really responds well to a bit of love, like compost and what have you. So, it is relatively hardy too, as long as you don't get any bugs that. The sucker variety, you can sort of just keep an eye on those. Once it's established, it looks really good with a lot of natives. You know, it can be a backdrop to quite a few things in your garden. So I really recommend the old tachymanthe speciosa.
Is there a common name for it?
I don't actually know. I just call it a tachymanthe for short.
Right.
But it does have an interesting little history, because it was on an island, and it was very rare. And since it's been brought to New Zealand, the mainland, and actually propagated, it's actually, you know, it's survived.
Done well, obviously.
It's done very well. So, especially if you're down on the waterfront, you need a fence to cover, you know, it's a really good option.
Excellent.
So,
excellent.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.